Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. With the high cost of produce in the grocery store these days, a lot of people are thinking about growing their own at home. But how do you start? And what do you need to know to be a successful do-it-yourself home gardener? Well, we have help for those with or without a green thumb. My guest tonight is Carolyn Woods, plant whisperer and gardening expert. And we are taking your phone calls tonight about growing your own vegetables, herbs, and fruit at home, no matter how much or how little room you have. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Carolyn, how are you?
Hi, Harold. So good to be with you again.
I am so glad that you are back. I am excited. I've been talking about having you on the program for weeks.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Absolutely.
Nice to be here.
Yes, indeed. So first and foremost, we know it's hot outside.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, for those who have not even started but are really thinking about growing, let's say, their own vegetables right now, is there a difference between planting right now in the middle of summer as opposed to perhaps planting in the spring?
That's a great question, Harold. This is not a great time to start planting for the fall. I would wait until the end of this month. We could start seeds right now indoors. And then put them outside when it gets a little cooler, or later part of this month, the beginning of September. And good vegetables for the fall would be like broccoli, kale, collard greens. And to be honest with you, I love fall vegetables better than spring vegetables. I think they have a better taste. So they get that frost on them.
Mm.
They taste so good, like collards, kale, lettuce, rape, all those type of green vegetables taste much better in the fall. So I would start, if you want to do seeds, I would start probably the end of this month or beginning of September, or you can go to your local nursery in the fall and get the seedlings and start planting in the early fall, but not right now.
Let us start with those who have a little extra room in the backyard, for example, because I want to also get to those who don't have a lot of room, maybe are using pots outside, and maybe even those who have to grow inside. But we want to start big and kind of trickle down to the smaller areas. First thing is first, right now during the summer, if you have room in the backyard, what should you do to start your planting?
Okay, in regards to vegetables or flowers?
No, I'm talking about food.
Okay.
I like pretty, but I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, I guess, to be honest, right now, it's very hot right now.
Yeah.
And so if you want to start something right now, maybe some herbs. However, I think it's so hot right now to actually put plants in as far as vegetables in this very moment. But if you want some food, then you can do herbs.
Okay.
I'll start with herbs.
What herbs would you suggest, and how long would we expect them to grow? I have basil.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because I know I have questions about my basil, and I'll ask you that in a bit. But I also have rosemary. But
that's
I tried to grow some spring onions, and all I get are squirrels in that pot, but nothing else is coming out. I don't know what happened.
Squirrel is a challenge.
Yes, it's indeed. Hard. And my squirrel's a gangster.
I believe it. Other than what you just mentioned, basil's a good one. You mentioned rosemary. Chives is a good one. Sorrel's a good one. It will do very well right now in this hot summer that we're having right now. See what else I can think of. Lavender. But lavender is like, that's, you know, it's like a, but if you're talking about food, I would say basil, sorrel, chives, garlic and onions. Those are all very good hearty vegetables right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, a lot of these, you know, the plantings, whatever it is, it's just so hot. But even if you have something that is growing right now, such as my basil, how often should you water it? I mean, I started with seeds for the basil probably about 2 months or so ago. Now I have a small bush in a pot, and I really, I honestly don't want to repot it in a larger pot, because then, you know, I may have to put it in the ground and put it next to the hedges, because it's getting so big. But how best, aside from watering it, should you treat it? And should you water it every single day?
Well, that's a great question. Water is the main key. You need to check it every day with this hot heat we're having. So, yes, you need to check it every day. And if it needs watering, yes, you will probably need to water it like once a day or every other day. Making sure that you have great, I hope you have great drainage on your pot.
I think I do, yeah.
Okay. You may even want to consider putting some type of shade cloth over the basil plant from the protect it from the blustering sun. You might want to consider putting tool over it also to help with the sun, or also pest if you had any pests on your basil. Usually basil is very hardy.
Yeah.
I've never seen too many pests on basil. But as long as your plant is healthy, looking good, you can keep that container. It will do well all through until it gets cold.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to plant whisperer and gardening expert Carolyn Woods. If you have a comment or a question about growing your own herbs and vegetables at home, now is the time to give us a call. Let me go to Karen calling from Clarksburg. Hey, Karen, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I was calling to find out what is most feasible with regard to growing indoors and what type of soil. My concern is about nutrients.
When you say indoor, and thank you for your question, Karen. When you say indoors, are you talking about, so you're talking about house plants? Are you talking about starting growing seeds indoors?
I am talking about, you know, producing whatever possible indoors. I want to find out whether or not, you know, it even is rational. Well, I do have plenty of sunlight, direct sunlight in my home.
Okay.
So if it's possible, you know, I'd like to start with that. I'd like to know the specific type of soil and the depth of the pot that I may need.
Well, she was asking, Karen, are you talking about just decorative plants, or are you talking about vegetables indoors?
I'm talking about vegetables indoors.
Okay.
Okay, well, Karen, you asked a great question, and you said something very great, that you have good sunlight. So what you can start doing, Karen, that you want to get some soil that's basically geared towards for growing seeds at your local nursery, and you can start growing seeds for kale, things that will do well, because eventually you're going to have to take those seeds, those seedlings, they have to go outside. Now, you're saying you want to keep them indoors through the winter months, or you're going to put them outside when it gets
cold? So eventually, if the quartz, so I'm totally new at this. I'm with Harold.
Okay.
I want to start, you know, whatever produce that I can.
Okay.
So if, you know, in long term, the end result is that they do have to go outside.
Right.
I'm even thinking I'm inclined to... You know, I actually do live on a conservation line. I just don't want to put it in the ground in my backyard. So even if I have to put some sort of planter, I'd do that. But if it's not feasible, then, you know, I'd have to, you know, plan on doing extra work there.
What's the easiest thing for her to start inside and transfer to a planter outside where you can produce some vegetables or the like?
Kale and collard greens. Those are my two best friends. Kale and collards. Those are my two recommendations. And you can put them in containers, and they'll grow all fall and winter, all through the winter months.
Okay.
How long would it take from seed to the ability to harvest them and put them on the table with some smoked turkey necks, which is what I'm sure Karen is getting at?
There you go.
I'll probably say they're probably at 12 weeks. I mean, as far as when you put them, you start sowing them inside, they'll probably start, the little seeds will probably come up probably in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'll keep them inside for a couple of weeks. And once it starts cooling down, you can start transplanting them outside into an outdoor container, making sure you use organic soil.
Okay.
No Miracle-Gro. You get some organic soil.
Yeah.
And put them in containers. And they will grow all through the fall, winter months. They're very good even when they get frost on them. They'll be great through the winter
That's
months.
Perfect. Mm. Yes, I'm going to start on it right now and make the prime time around the holidays.
Oh, and I'll be looking for a plate, Karen. But thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Before I go back to the phone lines, you said no Miracle-Gro, and instead you're suggesting organic soil. Why no Miracle-Gro? It's so popular, and the advertising on television is just saturating. So what are we missing there?
Well, my experience with Miracle-Gro is that I feel that the organic soil has more nutrients in it than the Miracle-Gro. Some have good results with. I haven't had very good results with Miracle-Gro. And so I prefer using organic material because I feel that I get a better harvest with my vegetables with organic soil more so than Miracle-Gro. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about growing your own vegetables and herbs. No matter how much room you have at home, indoors, outdoors, on the porch. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Yvonne, calling from Stafford, Virginia. Yvonne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yes. This was my first year growing a garden, and I have cabbage, which I have lots of it that came up, big bundles of cabbage.
Wonderful.
And my concern is, worms, or what's a good pesticide that doesn't have a lot of chemicals in it that's still healthy? Because if we're growing all of these vegetables, I have cucumbers, tomatoes, and other herbs, I need a good pesticide, where especially for the cabbage, keeping the worms off of the cabbage.
Well, keeping the worms on, that's a great question. Thank you for your question.
So hold that thought, Carolyn, for a moment. And Yvonne, don't hang up, because we're going to get your answer on the other side. We're also going to talk to Joe, who's calling from Maryland. Joe, we're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to plant whisperer and gardening expert Carolyn Woods about growing your own at home. You'll put it on the table after a few weeks. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Whether you have a green thumb or not, we are going to help you grow your own herbs and vegetables at home, no matter how much room you have at home. My guest is gardening expert and plant whisperer Carolyn Woods. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Yvonne from Stafford. Carolyn, go ahead and finish your point.
Okay, Yvonne, if you see any actual visual worms, I would try to remove them. If you're not too squeamish, remove them off, and you might want to try some neem oil on that cabbage.
Neem oil?
Neem, yes, N-E-E-M-O-I-L.
Okay.
But try to remove as many of them manually as you can, and then use that neem oil to spray them as far as getting those, because they're laying eggs on your cabbage.
Oh. Okay. Okay. I'll most definitely do that.
Okay.
Another thing I can add, a homemade spray, you might want to use some dish detergent. Mix it with a little bit of vinegar and water, and put a little bit of, like a teaspoon of dish detergent, and mix in a bowl and spray it.
Mm-hmm.
Spray it. That's more of a holistic way to try to get rid of those worms off your cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That's a good idea. That's a good. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Yvonne, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joe calling from Maryland. Hey, Joe, how are you? Joe, are you there? Joe, give me a call if you can. Give me a call back. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Baruch, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Harold?
I'm doing okay.
Great. I'm calling because I produce organic beverages every day out of my restaurant. And I have this organic compost. And I'm wanting to know whether your guest might have anybody that might be interested in picking up organic compost on a regular. I mean, it's daily. We probably produce 20, 25 pounds of compost every day.
What is organic compost?
It's the waste from our juicing process.
I see. Your thoughts about organic composting, Carolyn?
Well, Dr. Brew, that's a great question. I personally don't have a need for, but I know, Dr. Brew, you might want to check with all the community gardens in the D.C. area, because I'm sure they would love that. That's organic compost is a great thing. So I would check with all the, we have so many community gardens in D.C., and I know some of them, I do use a lot of compost. They may be definitely interested in that. I can check with the one in, some of the areas that I'm familiar with. I love to get your number, your name. Yeah, I have your name, but you get your number, and I'll pass that along to some of the community gardens in D.C.
Well, what's the name of your juicing business? I'm sure she can. It's Everlasting Life?
Yeah, Everlasting Life.
Okay, where is it?
And we're in Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Okay, I'm sure, Carolyn, I'm sure you can reach out to him and find it. Okay.
Yes, I can.
Well, thank you for that idea, Dr. Baruch. I appreciate your time. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, let's go back inside for a moment. If someone wants to grow more heartier vegetables, I guess you could say peppers, tomatoes, and like, can they do that inside, or can they perhaps, do it, on your porch? And what about hydroponics? Can you grow vegetables through hydroponics?
Yes, that's a great question, Harold, because I've seen more and more companies are selling these hydroponic systems that people can have these hydroponic tabletop containers on their countertop indoors. It's really sort of really taking off. So yes, you can do that, and so they can do it year round indoors.
What's the easiest vegetable to grow indoors?
The easiest vegetable to grow indoors. I see a lot. I have not experienced that. I mean, I started seedlings indoors. However, what I've been told from people who do it, I know I've seen a lot of people growing herbs indoors with hydroponics. I've seen people grow, start squash in a hydroponic. And I've seen, of course, the greens, the kale and the collards.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people grow that with the hydroponics.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines. Willie, calling from Virginia by way of Miami. Willie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Willie, are you there? I think we may have lost Willie. Okay. So we spoke about bugs. But if you have a garden, you know, outside, and, you know, I live near, you know, a park, and so I have all kinds of animals in my neighborhood. I have fox, obviously they're squirrels. I mentioned the gangster squirrels, but squirrels, opossum, raccoons, and literally about 1,000, maybe a 1,000 feet from my house, a little bit closer to the park, I will see deer. What can you do to keep animals from eating your vegetables?
That's another great question, Harold. I tell people to use chicken wire. Chicken wire will keep some of those rodents out, won't keep all of them out, but it will. I know the you mentioned the foxes. It'll keep the rabbits at bay.
Yeah.
It'll keep the squirrels at bay. There's even a company that sells these molded chicken wire forms that you can put over your vegetables so they can't touch them. Now, in regards to the deer, that's a good one. That's a challenge.
Well, yeah, because obviously deer are much hardier animals. You know, they're bigger, they're more muscular, you know, and the like. But, you know, I've often, you know, wondered, you know, about that, because I've seen on the, you know, the Nextdoor app that people have been complaining just a little bit farther away from me about how they've, you know, they've really had to deal with, you know, the deer eating some of their vegetables. And some people have strawberries growing. And the rabbits and the deer will. I mean, you can hang up the strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Like, again, far as I know, regards to the smaller creatures, the chicken wire work very well. But the deer, that's the question. I'm still trying to get that answer myself.
Okay.
On the deer question.
So, how do you do to transition our yards from grass to gardening? Let's just throw out the heat, for example. I know you said you may want to wait until next month if you're going to do some plantings in your backyard. Mm-hmm. But so what, do you just plant it in the soil that's there, or what do you suggest?
Well, I would first get your soil tested first to make sure it has the right nutrients in the soil, okay? And once you get it tested, I would put some fertilizer in that soil.
Hold on, let's back up a bit.
Okay.
How do you get your soil tested?
Well, I'm familiar. I'm in the DC proper, so I do know at one point, the cooperative extension at UDC was doing soil testing. I'm not sure now. Mm-hmm. After we've gone through COVID. But I know at one point UDC was offering soil testing, and so I would check with them, or even Google it to see exactly who was offering soil testing.
Okay.
So I would start there first.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, I think that you may, you know, have to find out what's happening in your community. When I look up soil testing, there are all kinds of options. So definitely use your computer, because there may be some state agencies or county agencies that may have some resources for you. What are you testing for?
You're just testing to see what type of nutrients are in your soil already, and what nutrients are lacking in your soil.
Mm-hmm.
And what type of nutrients you may need to add to your soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned UDC, but there's even companies out there. You can do a mail order, you know, send your soil away for a fee.
Okay.
To get your soil tested, and they'll tell you exactly what's in your soil, what you need to put. Maybe someone will recommend recommendations what type of soil you should get to amend the soil before you start putting plants in your soil.
So assuming that you need to to buy soil, do you still suggest the organic soil? What do you suggest?
I definitely suggest organic soil. I feel personally I've had better success with organic soil. I've seemed to have yield a better harvest with organic soil. I believe that it has less it does not attract as many pests with organic soil. That's my personal experience. So, yes, I do highly recommend using organic soil for your garden.
If you have the room, how do you do it? Do you dig a trench? How deep? How wide? What?
Well, if you have a room, if you might want to do raised beds.
Now, what is a raised bed?
Raised bed is a type of garden. It's a type of garden where you, as you mentioned, a trench. You may make a trench on the side of the soil to make it easier to so that the water will run off the plants much easier.
Okay.
And it makes it easier to garden with a raised bed. And as far as the trench, you might want the trench maybe like a half a foot on each side of the raised bed. And that this makes it easier when you do it that way.
So how deep are we talking about? How much soil and how deep is that soil?
Well, it really depends on how large you want that area for your garden.
Mm-hmm.
How much soil? It really depends on the size of your garden plot. How much soil? So really, it's hard. That's really hard to determine based on. I would have to see the size of that plot.
Mm-hmm.
To determine how much soil you're going to need for your area.
Would you have to do it every year? Would you have to change that soil out every year?
It depends who you talk to. Some people say yes, some people say no.
So what do you say?
I say that if the soil is still healthy, I've kept the same soil maybe for at least a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe change it, maybe add some more nutrients, maybe some lime to that soil. Some organic material to that soil, so you could keep it maybe for a year or two after really depends how what type of harvest you had the previous year, which will determine if you should keep that soil or add more soil to it.
Okay.
So it really depends.
So one of the things that I've always kind of been curious about, we've spoken a lot about vegetables.
Yes.
But in this area, other than like strawberries, obviously, but can you grow other fruit in this mid-Atlantic area? And if you can, what would you recommend?
In the ground or a container?
Either one.
Okay, well, dry strawberries, blueberries, figs, really big, very popular in this area, containers. I've seen people growing them in strawberries, blueberries, figs. Let me see what else. I'm trying to think.
And those are on the inside. Now, what about on the outside? Because I didn't know that there would be a differentiation.
Well, what I'm saying I'm talking about outside.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Strawberries, blueberries, figs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm referring to outside with those three fruits.
Okay. One of the things, but I would imagine that if you tried to grow lemons, for example, that probably would something like that work?
I personally haven't grown lemons, but people have told me they've grown lemons. I'm not sure which, and I've seen people grow lemons in a container.
Yeah.
And some people have had great success with them. It may take a while to produce fruit. May take a year, 2 or 3 years to actually produce fruit with lemons.
Oh,
lemons,
wow.
Or oranges, or lime.
Okay.
And I've seen them grown in containers.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have told me it might take a couple of years to get an actual yield of fruit off of those particular trees.
Mm-hmm. So here's the other question. I've seen a lot of this on social media, and I also have my own little, personal story about this. What can you buy in the grocery store, in the produce section, that you can actually take and grow, plant or edible, vegetable? For example, I've seen on, you know, on television, on social media, some people saying, well, they're going to, you know, lop off the head of a pineapple and stick it in the ground, and that's going to grow. Or there may be some other things that you can get from the produce section that are meant to purchase to eat, but that you might be able to take, you know, the what you cut off and plant. What kind of vegetables or fruit, for that matter, might grow, you know, after you cut it? I mean, do you cut it and stick it in water? What do you say?
Okay, that's a good question. ones that come to mind, avocado seeds. Some people I've had some luck with avocado seeds. Actually, you know, it takes, you know, of course you clean the seed up, put it in water, put it half of the seed in water. And it might take a while. It's a very slow process with the avocado seed. However, you're asking, though, you want to know of regards to a particular vegetable.
Well, yeah, any. I mean, if you know, because it's ironic you mentioned the avocado seed, because when I was a kid, and I was telling my boss about this just this morning, where when I was a kid, I think I may have been 10 or 11, you know, my mother is a retired principal, and of course she was a teacher first, and so she went and bought an avocado, took the seed out, cleaned it up, stuck some toothpicks in it, stuck it in the water, and my sister and I marveled at the roots that grew, and then she planted it, and we had an avocado plant for more than a year. Now, it didn't bear fruit, but I was fascinated because it was a very, very hearty plant, and I just thought that was really, really interesting. But one of the things I think that does come to mind is, you know, if you leave a potato, for example, in your refrigerator for a while, sometimes it may begin, those eyes may begin to grow. Can you use a potato to grow your own potatoes, for example, or grow your own onions that you may buy in the produce section?
That's a good question, because that's what I was thinking, Harold, but regards to sweet potato, yes.
Sweet potatoes, white potatoes, yellow potatoes?
I've worked with sweet potatoes, and yes, you can do that. Same process of putting them in water, and once they get roots on them, you can pop them up, and they will grow, and you'll get more sweet potatoes.
Really?
Yes.
And how long might we expect to get those homegrown sweet potatoes? I mean, how do you know, because potatoes are underground?
Right. You let the roots probably start rooting them probably in the springtime. Mm-hmm. And it probably takes them probably all summer. And by fall, you should have some sweet potatoes.
Wow. Really? So as a green thumb guru, and I'm a city kid, but I do remember that my grandparents right over there in Southeast D.C., used to have their own garden for years because they were from South Carolina, and they grew everything. They grew corn, they grew potatoes, tomatoes, greens, beans.
Wow.
they grew everything over there. Talk to me about the benefit. I mean, you know, we started the program talking about just how expensive everything has gotten. And if you have the wherewithal to grow, how much money can you theoretically save during the course of a year of growing your own?
That's a good question, Harold. I don't know the dollar amount, but I can say that you will say your harvest will be so large, you'll be sharing your harvest with other family and friends in your neighborhood. And the benefits also is just the taste. That's my biggest takeaway. It's just the taste is so different from growing your own vegetables than getting them in the grocery store. And just the feeling you have of just growing your own food,
mm-hmm.
you know? As far as saving money, that could be $20, $30 savings, you know, like far as the season is concerned. But I guess the biggest savings I would say is just having that, just that, just to know that you have grown your own vegetables, and just the satisfaction of growing, and just that feeling you get, just feeling that feel good feeling of growing your own vegetables.
You know, one of the things, and I mentioned my basil and my rosemary. And my rosemary finally started coming up a little more than a month ago, and I was a little concerned. But, you know, I've been growing, you know, basil and thyme and things like that. And to the point about saving money, one of the things, because, you know, I cook a lot, this year more than I think any other year, with everything else being so expensive, I realized just how much I was able to save. And I'll give you an example where just last week, I threw a whole chicken in a pot and boiled it to make some homemade chicken soup. And I realized that I didn't have any basil in the refrigerator. My pot is sitting right out front. And I said, oh, well, I can go and get some of my own. And I went and I harvested, air quotes, harvested from that pot of basil, a good cup of huge basil leaves. And then it occurred to me that if I had gone about a mile away or so to the grocery store, I would have spent about $5 on a packaged container of basil. It would be fresh, but not as fresh as what's growing on the front porch, number right. one. I would have spent money burning the gas to go to the grocery store. Spent the time going, standing in line, but just on the surface, on the face of it, $5 is, you know, a gallon and a half of gas, or a gallon and a quarter of gas, and I was very, very proud of, you know, of myself in having done that, because all I had to do from my kitchen to the front door is a 10-second walk.
Nice.
And I brought it in the house, I rinsed it off, and I just threw it in the pot. And, you know, and so I think that having the ability, because I don't have a lot of room and I don't have a lot of time, and I think that's one of the big concerns that a lot of people may have, that they want to do this and they want to grow, you know, tomatoes, and they want to grow beans, and they want to grow, but people are so busy, whether they're working from home or not. How do you balance the care of your garden with the time that you need to do everything else? What would you recommend are the easiest care vegetables to grow? I know you mentioned the kale and the collards. Any other ideas?
Well, I would say if you don't have much time, rather than putting a garden in your backyard, I would start with containers. Start small. I would start with containers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we're talking about now into the fall, the greens is really big, but if you want to do tomatoes, that type of thing, that would be next spring. But
okay.
A big one is like cherry tomatoes. The cherry tomatoes are like, grows like rabbits.
Oh, really?
You know? So cherry tomatoes will be your best friend in containers. They love growing in containers. You can even grow cucumbers and watermelon and cantaloupe in containers. You just have to have a large container and have by these tall poles to tie them down. Mm-hmm. So you can grow them in containers.
Oh, I didn't know that. And what about peppers?
Yes, that's another one. Peppers is very good. Another one, good one for containers.
You know what? This is something I've always wanted to ask someone, and maybe you could help me with this.
Okay.
You mentioned watermelon. What determines whether a watermelon is sweet or not? Because I'll go to the grocery store and I'll get a watermelon 1 week, and I'll cut that rascal up, and it's so sweet, it's like somebody put sugar. But then I'll buy the same kind, like a seedless watermelon. That's, you know, I do like the seedless ones, and the ones I get the next week, and it's not sweet at all. So in the growing, what determines or what makes a watermelon sweet or not sweet?
That's the million-dollar question, Harold, and I don't know the answer to the question. I'm just trying to get one out myself, Harold.
You need to whisper to those watermelons and find out. I need to know that.
If you find that question out, let me know.
I find
the answer out. Let me know.
Yeah, because I really do want to know, because a lot of people, you know, when you pick melons and the like, and you thump it and you listen to, I don't know.
Right.
Because I'm not a plant whisperer. But yeah, that's one of the things that I do want to know. And the other thing that's really a big concern of mine as well is, if you are growing your fruits and vegetables indoors, I am always concerned about bugs. And I know we spoke about it earlier outside, but do you do the same thing for the plants or for the herbs or vegetables on the inside? Because I you don't want to see anything flying around,
right?
You know, the house,
right? Yes, I would start. I was telling the person who called in,
yeah.
I would start out with that that home remedy with the dish detergent and the 1/4 cup of vinegar and water. That's probably the safest thing, I think. I would mix all that in a bowl and then put in a spray bottle. If you do see any bugs, I probably would use that first before using other pesticides like neem oil. But I think the home remedy would be my first line of defense indoors, and then I would start with the neem oil be second.
So I've got a minute or two. What are you currently growing at home?
I'm a container gardener, and I've been growing kale. I love kale. It's my favorite. And cherry tomatoes. Cherry tomatoes all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
And just those two this year, and I have a lot of flowers and plants, and flowers and pots. But for this summer, it's just been kale all summer and cherry tomatoes. It's been my two friends for this growing season.
Okay.
And having a great time.
And you grow them inside?
No, I grow them in containers outside.
In containers outside.
Yes.
So when you harvest them, how do you do that? Do you, like, let's talk about the kale, because that's what I'm really curious about. Because kale it's a large plant. Do you take a leaf off? Do you cut it? How do you do that?
I just snip it right off. I might take, if I want to make myself a smoothie or make myself a kale salad, I just snip it off, snip off 5-10 leaves, and kale will keep growing. It'll grow all the way through the winter months.
And so when you're done, when it gets too cold, do you go back with more seeds? Do you have your own seedlings from what you grew previously?
Both. I've tried. Yes, I will grow. I will make seedlings from the kale. I let them go to seed, and then once they go to seed, then I harvest those seeds, and then I will dry them and use those seeds for the next harvest for the next year.
Mm.
Or I'll buy seeds and start them inside. Between January and February.
Okay. And organic soil, lots of drainage,
yes.
And once it starts to grow, water, you know, heat notwithstanding, what, every day or every other day?
Yes. Yes.
I might try some of that. I need to get my kale salad on.
Yes, you should. You talk about far as the winter for the
just yeah. Now I think, you know,
okay.
I have time. I just have to watch out for those gangster squirrels. Carolyn Woods, plant whisperer, gardening expert. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Bon appetit. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Harold.
All right.
Have a great evening.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, August 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.